The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
It is time for another edition of the Two Man Game Podcast with UNC coach Steve Smiley. I am Brady Hull. Coach is back the chair. He had some fill-ins last week. I thought they did great.
I would say we had some improvements. We had some upgrades. I wouldn't call them fill-ins. Coach Reed and Coach Green, they did a great job. And I was actually listening to that. I downloaded the episode on a Thursday night in the middle of the heart of the mountains, Lake City. Shout out to Lake City. They're dealing with some fires right now. But when I downloaded it, I listened to it Friday morning. You have to understand, driving back from Lake City to Greeley, pretty much a six-hour drive any way you cut it, and very limited cell service. So you have to download your stuff ahead of time on some Wi-Fi. So I downloaded it. I thought it was a really good show.
They were fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. And what I love about this, and we've talked about it too a lot, your coaching staff, how much trust you guys have, the belief you guys all have in each other. And I know that that's probably, there's a lot of great coaching staffs throughout the country, but just kind of for me to see it and then hear from those guys and hear their philosophy sync up with your philosophy. It was just kind of a cool change of pace for the podcast.
I think it was great. And there's no script ahead of time. Like, hey, ask these guys just whatever you got to do. Right. Yeah, I think that's the thing, too. And, there are staffs that are not like that. There are staffs that are very, head coaches are very protective in this, which is fine. But, these are my guys, man. We've been together for almost a decade now. So, I was glad for them. I think, they're both going to be, and obviously Coach Reed's been head coach for however many years already, but they're both going to be head coaches. There's no doubt about it. And so to get reps and to get, experience, I think it's great.
Yeah, and I did ask them both about that. Yeah. Obviously they answered it perfectly. They've got their eyes on the prize. They love it here. But yeah, all assistant coaches, you were one of those guys where you're thinking, I'm going to grind here as an assistant coach. I'm going to do my best for Coach Linder. But at the same time, you're also keeping your eyes on, hey, that's the ultimate goal. Yeah. I want to be a head coach.
No, you don't want to paint with a broad brush that every assistant wants to be a head coach, because there are few that don't. There are few that really enjoy just, being the assistant and not having that moving over that 18 inches, the corny phrase we all say. But, for 95 to 98% of assistant coaches, the goal is to be head coach. And so my hope, and I don't want to go so far as to say expectation, but my hope is that every one of the assistants that works for us wants to be head coach, and these guys do.
Yeah.
Not just Coach Reed and Coach Green, Clope, Colin, and Coach Martin, our new coach on staff, they want to be head coaches. And a lot of them have had a head coaching experience beforehand, right? So, we're just very grateful for that, and to have them want to move to the next step, that is the goal. And so for me to the more we win, the more successful we are, the more opportunities. And these guys have had multiple opportunities, by the way, but nothing's been quite the right fit for them, to leave what we're doing here. And I'm very grateful that we've got guys like this and stuff. These are people don't understand how high level these guys are, and no one's making millions of dollars out here in Greeley. So to have them here and staying loyal and true to it and appreciating what we're building, I'm very grateful for them.
Yeah, no, it was great to catch up with them. Something too, I know you and I are still working on the details of this, but I just want to let listeners know, I think this is more self-serving for me, Coach, to be honest, but we're going to do kind of a special this year. We haven't done this kind of thing before, but more of a get to know the roster thing here later this month. It's August 6th already. You're going to allow me to set up shop at practice, because you guys are going to have three practices before you take your trip.
Yep.
And we're going to set up shop out there, do the whole show live out there, and give us an opportunity to talk to some of these players, talk to some of the new guys, maybe catch up with coaches yourself, obviously.
Yep.
So I'm really looking forward to that. Bank of Colorado, great support. Yeah. They're going to be hooking us up with this sponsorship.
I think it's going to be great. And, going back to, I know we talked a little bit about this compressed foreign trip. This is not like what we did last year in, Lisbon, Portugal, where you prepare for it, you fundraise for 4 years, which is what we needed to do, and you go, to Europe. This is a little different. We got an opportunity to go to Puerto Rico right before school starts, play two games. It'll be the shortest and quickest foreign trip of all time. Matter of fact, it'll be shorter playing two road games. It'll be shorter than a traditional Big Sky trip. You know, in the Big Sky, we're going to fly out on a Wednesday. We're going to play Thursday. We're going to travel Friday. We're going to play Saturday. We're going to play it. Travel back Sunday. This is actually travel Thursday to San Juan, Puerto Rico, which will be a long travel day. It's a 3 a.m. leave town to catch a 5:55 a.m. flight. And there's really no direct flights that we could find. So we connect in Atlanta. We fly from Atlanta to San Juan, get a team meal at the facility that we're not only training at, playing some in one of the games at, but also sleeping at. Like, this is not an all-inclusive five-star resort. This is an all-inclusive training facility.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really cool. It's called Jump. And J.J. Barea, who's an assistant for the Denver Nuggets, it's actually his place. He's the Puerto Rican legend. And through some connections, which are really, really crucial for this to happen, that's where we're going to go to. And then we're going to play Friday and Saturday and fly back Sunday. And school starts the next Monday. So very condensed. But in addition to that, I'm just as excited about the three full practices and lifts and team meetings that we'll have on the 17th, 18th, and 19th. And we're going to get you there probably 18 or 19 to do this live show. And it's just – this is – it's like a bonus. It's like a little bit of a cheat code to get some more, you know, official – allowable practice ahead of time, which we need. We need to get these guys back. You know, we had the 12 guys this summer. We think that our Australian player, Campbell Blogg, will be here by the 10th, so he'll be, you know, medically cleared in theory and ready to go. And then Egan Shields, who's been out for a pretty big chunk of the summer, is cleared now. He should be back too. So we should have our full 14. So to be able to have those practices and just learn more. And I'm right now, as an off-season project, I'm working on our non-conference review for our staff retreat, and watching all the stuff we did about a year ago, it's like we got a lot of work to do, you know, and we just got a bunch of, you know, youth and inexperienced and super talented, but like we've got a lot of work to do to get to where we need to get to.
I'm looking forward to hearing more about that, and then of course setting up shop out there, get to know this team a little bit more. Coach, boy, a lot's happened since the last time we chatted.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Brock Wisney story, and we don't have to dive into it too deeply here, but a lot has changed. Essentially, Brock and his attorney, his team, they win, so they get this 5-for-5 to go back to, what, 2022?
For all 2022, in theory.
But the NCAA is really pushing back on this one, Coach. They're fighting this one hard.
Yeah.
But then, they win, so I'm thinking, okay, we're going to see what happens with Brock Wisney. Is he going to... Is he going to go to Spain? Is he going to transfer out?
Yep.
Then you hear then the judge kind of has to clarify a few things and saying, okay, first off, if you signed a professional contract, you're not going to come back. You're not going to come back to the NCAA. And I think the other one was if you didn't enter the transfer portal back in April,
right, during the window,
you can't enter the.
Yep.
You can't go. You would just, if you do come back and you didn't sign a professional contract, you would just be back with the team that you were with the previous year.
Yeah, I have no idea where this goes with Brock. Now, big picture, like there was just another 5-for-5, I think, injunction in the state of Georgia. So another 30 elite players just got released back into college basketball. It's just crazy when you think about what's going on. Now, on the flip side, which teams have roster spots, which teams have scholarships, which teams have NIL money? It's August, Brady. So, like, I don't know where a lot of that goes. But, you know, with Brock, I was talking to him like 2 days ago, and I'm actually worried about his not. I hate to say so far as his mental health, but like, you know, I don't think he planned or his intentions were to be the named. It's literally Wisney versus NCAA.
It's like they might make a bylaw in it might be the Wisney rule.
And the problem for Brock is that, one, he doesn't like attention. He doesn't care about money. He's excited to move on with his life. That's not to say that he won't come back to college. Like, you know, the amount of power fours that have reached out to us, and it's like literally these other guys have left, you know, the Langstons and Rings and Daltons and Saints. It's every bit of that, if not more. I mean, it's several hundreds of thousands of dollars that could be on the table if he's eligible to play. So, yeah, like you mentioned, you know, they had the initial injunction from the judge. Now, from there, you know, the forest fires have blown up in that world too. Well, what does it mean? Is it – because it was like, all right, 22 and 22, everyone's good. And everyone just, you know, was, oh, my gosh. Well, okay, if you sign a pro contract, which he obviously has because he's going to Spain, can you nullify that? Can a team pay your buyout fee? you know, that's a question. And to keep in mind, Brock is flying out August 14th.
Yeah.
And so we're down to, what, 8 days? I was talking to Brock 2 days ago, and you know, he was lifting in the basement of his house. And I'm like, how you doing, man? And he's like, yeah, I'm good, you know, just trying to get ready to go. But same point in time, there's a lot of, you know, lack of clarity. Could he come back to college? And then, you know, the amount of people reach out to us, so Brock's coming back. I was like, hey, I mean, you want to donate to the $1 million that he's – probably commanding on the, you know, the P4 circuits, right? And for Brock, like, you know, I don't want to speak for him, but his focus when he was done playing is I'm ready to move on with my life. It's on his socials. He's engaged. He's ready to get, you know, move on to that phase of life to a great gal. He's looking to go to Spain, right? There's so many things. So this throws this wrench in it. Well, what Brock didn't realize at the time is, like, if he did get this year, and his attention, I think, was like, okay, I want to be a part of this case because maybe there's lost wages, right,
yeah.
For all of us. And it's a very valid case. But I don't think he understood how much he's worth, right? I think it's like, wait, I'm actually worth that, because he's such a humble dude. And it's like, okay, yeah, man, like, you're a post player that can play a five or a four. You had an unbelievable game at Texas Tech and CU, and that are Power Four schools. And going backwards, you go back 2 years, like, whoa, like, this guy could play at that highest level, and he could play multiple spots and be very good. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see where it goes. I don't know. I mean, you know, all I know is it's in 8 days he's either on a plane or he's going somewhere. And he did get in the transfer portal, and that's an interesting thing too, that a lot of these players in April, when, you know, lawyers and NIL agents and reps were saying, hey, get in the portal just in case. A lot of compliance offices would not let those players get into – there was pushback. Like, you don't have eligibility. You're a graduate. I'm not going to put you in a portal. So that's – you got to look at that too. Like, the big thing too is a lot of players are saying, well, I'm not in the portal because my compliance department wouldn't let me get in the portal because I have no eligibility.
Interesting.
Yeah, like
– so did Brock get in?
Yeah, he's in.
He did get in.
Yeah,
okay.
Our people were great. Okay. Our people worked with – yeah, our people are the best. But, like, there's a lot of places saying we're not going to – confuse the markets and put you in a portal when you don't have eligibility. They didn't have the foresight. So there's a lot of issues that are, again, this is not even about Brock. This is literally every 2022 kid. And everyone's like, what about Zach? No, Zach had 5 years because he redshirted. What about Quinn? Quinn's been in college for 19 years. It's not about those dudes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But Brock does fit into that category, as does Langston Reynolds. Langston, people need to check on Langston too and see kind of what's going on there. You know, can he come back? He's in some named lawsuits. Now, I don't believe this one, but I believe one in California. Langston's in that one. But I also believe that he's, I don't know if he's signed, but, you know, a professional contract. But, yeah, if this comes out and it's like, hey, if you sign a pro contract, you're cooked, Brock might not be able to come back. I don't know. The idea from the P4s is, like, even though he signed, they weren't worried about it at the time. They're like, we can just buy his contract out because there's a buyout clause in every professional contract. We'll just pay out the buyout fee, and that'll be part of his rev share.
Yeah.
So this stuff's really wild, but I don't know.
Well, what I think is crazy, too, that with the NCAA pushing so hard on this, punishing the guys for signing a pro contract, well, they didn't know if they were going to win this case, so – why wouldn't they sign a pro contract if thinking that's the next step? You would hate for Brock to say, no, I'm going to hold off on that.
Yeah.
Wait to see how this goes with the NCAA. And then what if they lose? And then Spain says, you know, hey, we're already moving on, man. We already filled our roster.
And the confusing thing is there's guys that have played in the NBA Summer League. There's some guys that have not signed NBA two-way contracts or G League contracts because of some guys have. Like, there's a lot of confusion. I have no idea. Not the expert in this, but – it's going to be, again, I've said this for years, all this stuff's going to be a Harvard case study 10 years from now, because it just keeps going and going and going. And I don't know. But clearly the NCAA is pushing back on it, because it would be a blanket waiver for everybody. The state, you know, ones that have kind of popped out, there was the Georgia one just happened. Now this stuff's gotten so nutty. I think there's the Ohio one that happened. So there's all these state cases. But this is the blanket one, right? This is the big one. And I really don't know. But with Brock, I'm more so like, hey, dude, how are you doing? Like, because talking to him, like, look, you got to understand, if you are allowed to come back, which as of last Friday looked like it was going to happen, right? If you are allowed to come back, if you think about it, and if you are able to command several hundreds of thousands of dollars and – for literally for the rest of your life. I mean, this is life-changing opportunity for the next 7 months, right?
Yeah.
This is all it is. We're already through the summer, right? So it's like, all right, by the time it solves itself, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, 8 months. 8 months, several hundred thousand dollars that literally could set yourself up for the, you know, for the start of your family. So you got to think about that, you know. And Brock said, well, you know, I'm focused on Spain, which is great. Maybe that's what he does. I don't know. But the pendulum is so different in terms of how much money we're talking about here that, you know, I think it's at least got him thinking about it. And I don't think that's why he got in the lawsuit. But and I would assume, because there's a lot of negativity too. These kids just need to move on with their lives. I'm sure since he's the named plaintiff, that's why I'm a little queasy about it. Like, hey, dude, how you doing?
Too.
Because it's not all, you know, roses. I mean, I guarantee you he's getting some negativity. Like, move on with your life. And like, and he doesn't want any of this stuff. Some of these people like the social media stuff and the hype. He's not that guy. So I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, it's when you meet this guy and you know him, you know, extremely well. He doesn't seem like the guy that would be involved in this kind of a lawsuit. But at the same time, to me, it's an important fight, and it does make sense to go at it, because I think the NCAA, I thought they should have done one of two things here with their new 5-for-5 rule. Why not just say flat out it's effective now? It doesn't go back 4 years, whatever. It's just effective now. Or do the math.
But that's what they did.
But isn't it like 2023 gets the past 2022, like 23, 24?
Because
they're
still in college.
Right.
So that was their cut lines. Like,
so
if you're still in college,
we're going to...
Yeah, because everyone that's flowing into college now is still in college. If you're still in college, you get the 5 years. Yeah. But if you're done with college, and it really, again, it affects 2022, Brock, I think it could affect 2021 as well, in the sense of those guys. At some point in time, people got those free COVID years, right?
Right.
So I don't know if 2021 also has an argument. They might, though. They might have an argument. But, like, yeah, they made – here's the cut line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, too. Like, people look at it and say, well – what the NCAA should have done is they should have just made this announcement like in October or September, not in the summertime, because then everyone is playing professionally. And I say everyone, that's in the men's basketball world. But then it's like, well, what's the other giant out there? It's called college football.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I think the announcement was made a little bit earlier, because of the football side of things. In our world, if it was just about basketball, say, and you're the NCAA, so we'll just make the announcement in October. All those pros are gone. Everyone else is, like, you make it in the summertime, bam, that's why all these lawsuits have popped up, like, you know, forest fires, because of the timing of it. So I don't know. I mean, it's bizarre. There's no right or wrong answers, but until, you know, everyone's like, well, what's the answer to all this? It sounds like the only answer is eventually getting to unionizing, collective bargaining, and I don't even know how that stuff works, but there's going to be lawsuits. That's just what it is. And we are in this massive disruption market, and I don't know.
What was fascinating to me is you mentioned lawsuits. The NCAA obviously has been involved in so many of these.
Oh.
And it just seems like this one, and I know they're pushing back, they're fighting hard on this Protect College Sports Act with Congress, but it seems like this little 5-for-5 deal, the side project, they're really fighting.
Well, and on the specifically the Wizzy one, because it's for all athletes.
Yeah.
The named ones in Ohio and Georgia, there's 20 guys in a lawsuit, 20 players, whatever. There's 15 in Ohio, and then I think Langston's in the California one. We're talking about a set of 20 athletes, 30 athletes, 12 athletes. The Brock one is everybody. It's the whole shebang. Mm-hmm. It's everything. So that's why they're, whoa, like, okay, we'll in theory, I guess, take the L on a lawsuit in Georgia. But this is, Brady, this is everybody.
Mm-hmm.
This supersedes everything. That's why for them, they're like, whoa, like, okay, we're going to push back on this, because it's literally saying, forget all the, you know, these little, you know, tributaries. I'm a river guy right now, right? We're right to the source, to the main river, and that's just too much. That's my assumption. Again, this stuff's so nutty. It literally is crazy that Brock is the name playing this. And it actually, it's people are like, man, what's going on out there at UNC and Greeley and Brock? I'm like, hey, I don't know. I mean, but
Coach, we had one of our Wyoming Cowboys insiders on the show the other day, talking some football, prepping for all that. But he was also talking about the fact that their team, there's two guys they're waiting to see on the football side if they're going to be able to play or not. So they're like, do we prepare? Do we get ready? We don't know. I know Coach Lamb brought that up yesterday too. But it was funny because I mentioned this to the reporter. I said, all this stuff that you're talking about has something to do with our guy Brock Wisney here, because this case is affecting everybody throughout the country.
Well, you know, as the case popped out, there's literally been players that I got a year eligibility, right? Because that's what the case said, and schools have grabbed those players. And I'm committed to whatever based off of my fifth year. And then it's like, okay, they're eligible for now. So like there are players that have, you know, signed because they got fifth year. They're probably on those campuses now. And they're still now with the pushback. There's no clarity yet if they're going to be eligible. Who
right.
knows?
Yeah.
There are a lot of questions right now.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's the thing with, you know.
Not a lot of answers. All just a coaches lot of questions.
Are just kind of sitting back and waiting too. Yeah. So it will be interesting. Coach, I got to sidetrack you here. I saw a picture that you posted on social media. How close were you to that gigantic moose, my friend?
Isn't that great?
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Probably kind of scary too.
Let's sidetrack.
Though,
so, very dangerous animals. It was probably, it was at least between 11,000 and 12,000 feet up there with my brother, fishing, going back to the fishing deal. Mm-hmm. And he's the fish whisperer, man. He's
like a pro fisherman, right?
He's like, he's like a LeBron, a Jordan, like, and he has multiple state records in multiple states. And he's the guy that like, everyone wants to fit. He just, like, he doesn't guide. He won't do any of that stuff. He's the guy that if you go fish with him, you're going to catch some fish. And so, yeah, we go up. And the problem is with these fires up by Lake City, one of the massive areas of great, I mean, elite fishing, okay, is shut down because of the fire. Mm-hmm. So all the roads are closed. National Forest access closed. Well, what that does, it takes that pressure and moves it to another area close to town, which doubles that pressure. And then the rivers at that point were blown out with 4 days of monsoons. So the bigger rivers where all the bigger fish are at, unfishable. So the guides, they push into those creeks. So long story short, we had to push like 90 minutes away from Lake City, and we had to go to a little, I'm not saying a river, a creek that he'd never fished before. He's like, I got a good feeling. I'm like, dude, we're rolling 3 hour round trip on a feeling. But we went up there, and literally we probably caught 60 fish in 4 hours. Where, you know, a normal human being fishing with another catch 12. It was like 60. And that's not me, that's him. But that's as we were insane. Done driving around, and he's like, hey, there's a moose all keep your eye for moose. I'm tapped, I'm tired. And all of a sudden he's like, moose, and there's a moose going down the side of this mountain, big male, obviously going down the side of this mountain, bull rolling into the marsh, right? And so we're like, geez, okay. So he's like, all right, we have to get a picture of this thing. I'm like, all right. So we pulled over. We're in our flip-flops because we've already shut down the fishing for the day, so we're just chilling, right? We're in the flip-flops. We're moving up this mountain at a fairly high incline up this mountain to get on top to look down into the willows. That's where these moose, you know, that's where they go. They don't like to be in the open. And he's looking around. It's so condensed. It's hard to see. And sure enough, finally, I kind of look. I'm like, bro, he's right there, right in front of us. And we're looking downwards. That's why you can see the kind of downward trajectory. And he's out there, quick video of the sat, and he's like, hey, I don't like how he's acting. We got to get out of here. Because those things are, like, really territorial.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Now, the moms, right, that with their calves, those are extremely dangerous animals. But this is obviously a male. And so he's just kind of looking up at us. And, you know, he could have got us if he wanted to. We were naked. We were right in the open. There's no, like, hiding. What happens if they charge you? You got to get to a tree, and you just got to dodge them. And just there was no trees. We were on the side of a mountain on a hill going downwards. But long story short, we were close.
How far away were you from your vehicle?
Too far.
When you're okay.
No, we couldn't get. We were not getting to the vehicle. No. Yeah. No,
heart was going. Kind of. Yeah.
I mean, we've done enough of these things. You know, if I did that with like a bear, I'd be terrified. But like, you know, even when I was in Sheridan, we'd run into so many moose fly fishing up there, and you know, up in the North Fork of the Tongue River. That's a special, special place. It's probably been blown out now by too many tourists. But yeah, like there was a lot of moose up there too. So like, but this one was so big. Like he was like, that's one of the biggest moose he's ever seen.
Yeah, and from the pictures, it looked gigantic.
Like trophy sized. Yeah. Really cool.
So how long? So your brother, obviously fisherman, he's like you said, he's like the LeBron James of fishing with all these records on. Mm-hmm. Were you into that at one point? Were you like into the fishing world, or when did he start to get into
that? It's for my dad. Like it's when we were kids and we grew up in Arvada, but literally where he lives now is relatively close to where we would camp at. And we'd always have at least a 1 week a year we'd go camp and do our little family vacation up to the mountains. Again, long before like now you gotta reserve these spots. It's just sad. Mm. You gotta reserve these spots a year in advance. It's just everything's blown out. But back then you could just roll up. We had our little secret spot and you would never see anybody. So like we knew where we were gonna camp at, and and maybe there's like two or three sites. Maybe one of the random person found the site, but I don't know how my dad found it years ago, but it's like found this site, and it's just what we did growing up as kids, and you'll fish and then we go, you know, go to the lakes and this and that. What was unique for us is the fly fishing, right? Like a lot of people lake fish and sit at the lake, and that's fine too. Or, you know, my brother's big into the boating and the trolling and stuff like that. And that's where, like, his state records, majority of those are lake trout, Mackinac, 55-pound, like, trout. Like, yeah. Wow. So, like, yeah. Those are in lakes. But I always got the affinity for the rivers and the fly fishing. It's magical, man. Have you seen, like, a river runs through with Brad Pitt?
I've always, like, loved the idea of doing
Montana,
that kind of
like,
thing. Yeah.
Like, that's a real that's us. That's what we do. And, you know, like, if you saw the pictures, like, the creek or stream, whatever you want to call it, literally it was between 1 to 2 feet wide. And so you're not grabbing 4-pound trout out of a stream that's 1 to 2 feet wide and there's no depth to it, right? I was like, bro, we're not catching a single thing out of this. He's like, oh, trust me. So it was more quantity, right, than size. But, yeah, like, I mean, we've always been into it. And when I went – one of the cool things, like, when I was in Aberdeen, South Dakota, there's none of that because you're in the middle of the plains. There's no trout fishing. But when I went to Utah, that was the idea, right? Like, but I never got into it. I was too busy there just trying to hold on to life. Moving from – but pre-Utah and Sheridan, Wyoming – it's God's country. Like, that's special stuff on the Bighorn Mountains. So you can get in some really cool stuff up in there. And so for my 6 years in Sheridan, I got back into it. And it's, again, it's like golf. It's a really expensive sport. To have you know, you can go to Walmart and do what you got to, but like to really get the equipment you need to get to,
yeah.
You got to invest. And my brother at that point, he was on the commercial side of that industry as well. So like I was able to get like, you know, fly rods and reels and, you know, the boots and the waders and he used to tie all of his own flies. Like, he's that guy. But like all the secret stuff, how do you keep a dry fly dry, right? You know, it's called floating, right? So there's floating, but at the same point, like, he found some different stuff, this different powders, and he's like, man, this is like crack cocaine to the fish. And so, like, you know, you're powdering up these flies so they just sit on the edge of the stream on top of it. Because if you don't have the right presentation, it's not going to work. And so what's funny about it is this. I fish one time a year in theory. That trip I go to, like, I got to get up there one time a year. It's too far. It's a 12-hour round trip just to get to his doorstep, but I'm too busy. But when the guys go home, I try to sneak one time a year. And it's worth it, and we do our deal. But what's funny is, like, the muscle memory of it, I can still get out there. And I have, you know, good equipment, but – you know, dust off my equipment and that hat that I wore, my favorite, my camo fishing hat, I've had that thing for 15 years. And I wear it once a year, but it's like, it's great because it's got the sides and the back. It's just like when you're 12,000 feet in the air with the sun, you're going to fry yourself.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So you got to protect yourself. So I pull out my little fishing, you know, it's just packed away for once a year and you dust it off, throw it in the wash, whatever it is. But I can still fish. Like, I can still legitimately fish. As my eyes have gotten bad, what's been hard is, like, tying flies and stuff like that. You know, that's really hard for me to do now, which sounds crazy. But the key is that we caught 60 fish, my brother and I. We didn't lose one fly. And you could lose it to a fish. You could lose it to a willow. You could lose it to a back cast, right? I mean, you snap lines. We didn't snap one line. So it's like time on water is the key. Like, you want to catch fish, get your fly into water, right? And so the less you're jacking around, like, we had our rigs already set up before we even got in the truck to go up there. Because you want to get up there, pop off, boom. You don't want to get up there and set your stuff up. And there's a competition to it, too. So it's funny. We were talking about it. And I was like, you know what's crazy, bro? I was like, growing up, we fished. But again, like, twice a year. We're not like these psychos that are up there. But when I was young, muscle memory and stuff, and it just comes back.
It's always there.
I never touched a golf club until maybe 7 years ago. I play enough golf now that, you know, the GCC Tuesday Night League, and my son's getting into it. I'll play, you know, the scandals, the tournaments, right? The Youth for Christ tournament, yeah. All that scandal, and played in that. And I play in the Coaches vs. Cancer. I'm playing in one next week, the Chamber, the Prairie Dog Classic. I'm in that bad boy with an Ames UNC team. It's going to be great. Long story short, I'm putting in 900% more time into golf than fishing. And I'm getting better at it, but I'm still not a good golfer. I'm a 24 handicap. So I can play 9 holes, 18 holes, 9 holes, you know what I mean? I still have the same issues. I can pull a fly rod out once a year and still be pretty dang good. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's
makes no sense.
Something you but grew up it's doing youth, it maybe, muscle, so it's like just something
say,
that –
it's like they say learning a second language.
Yeah.
If you learn a second language as a kid, man, you try to learn – and I try to learn Spanish for a long time, and maybe that will be on my bucket list, you know, at some point. But, like, it's hard.
Yeah.
But your mind is so, you know, elastic, and it just – when you're a kid, like – I got that muscle memory in that right shoulder. I know how to do this with a fly rod, but at golf, it's just like I'm a complete motor moron.
it is crazy though. Yeah, a lot of the things that you did growing up, you're
we
always going to have.
We were talking about that, and I was like, you know, I was like, because he's the same. He doesn't golf. He goes out on a golf course. He is awful. Like I could just slaughter this dude up and down, but like he is a savant of fishing. And we were talking. I was like, you know, what's so weird about this man? It's like I'm not saying I'm the best fisherman in the world. I'm not Bear Grylls, but dude. I can get out, give me the right fly, right? And give me some of your little special floating, and I can go out and I can go knock some fish down now,
yeah.
Right? I do it once a year. But I get on a golf course and I love it, man. And I go to the range every now and then and I play every Tuesday night. And so there's some muscle memory. I'm not getting any better. I got all the resources. I got Sikorsky. I got our golf coach. I play with all these real golfers. And I'm like, hey, if you ever see anything, just throw me a suggestion, right? I got all these people that are, you know, picking apart my game in a good way. And but the muscle, it's just not there. Isn't that crazy?
That is, especially now as much as you're doing it too. Well, that's the tough part when you get people giving you suggestions and everything too.
You got to be careful.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
You turn into a motor moron. You turn into a robot.
You're doing like 500 things.
Yeah. All I'm actually trying to do in the golf game, segue there with Sikorsky, is I need to learn my base. Like, I can fix my feet a little bit, ball positioning, stance positioning, little things, you know, because really, I don't know how much I'm going to be able to switch my – or how much I'm going to be able to save my swing. I think that's really hard. I mean, again, I'm playing 9 holes a week. So, like, it's like, well, move your hand here and just close your – yeah, but – like, can we fix the base? It's like your jump shot. People think it's all about your snap. It's about, do you have a good base,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, that's the start of things. So like, you know, foundationally, that's what I'm trying to get to.
Well, I appreciate you kind of going there with us, sharing that, because I know it was important to you to kind of get away before you jump right back into all things basketball.
Mandatory. And I was hanging out with one of my good friends, Warren Yoder, Weld County Garage. And, you know, we were talking yesterday, and in the last week, I was able to get up to Red Feather, you know, past Fort Collins. I went and golfed up there. It was the first time I've been in the mountains. An awesome course. First time I've been in the mountains in, you know, 8 months. And that's like soothing to me. That's like just to get them. I love it. It's my happy place.
Yeah.
So, and really, they're not that far away from me, right? So then I got that. Then I went to the real, like the hardcore mountains to see my brother, Lake City. The fishing's great, but just to be up there and, like, you know, there's a couple of really cool places just to eat at and hang out and just to be around that nature. You saw the moose. I mean, big buck deer. Like, I mean, things you just – it world class. Drove back Friday. Then my wife's like, hey, we got to take our daughter up for senior pictures. I said, great. Where are we taking her to? Are we taking her to, you know, UNC, or are we taking her down to – not Estes. I'm like, wait, what? So they're going to – all right. So I got back Friday, 6-hour drive. And then we had to take our daughter up to Estes with the photographer who's her high school buddy. And I'm like, so where are we going to? Like, Lake Estes? Like, no, I got to pass. So, like, you mean like to the park? We'd go all the way to Rocky Mountain National Park on a Friday night. I was like, this seems bizarre.
Mm.
I mean, the traffic and stuff, but you know what? Then we roll up into Estes, right? So I've been to Red Feather, been to Lake City, which is just like past Gunnison, and then roll back up into Estes, into Rocky Mountain National Park. You're seeing elk. I'm like, this is like, I got my nature outdoors fix. And I needed it.
Yeah.
Like, it's so good. The only downside was, as we got to the park, I didn't know we were going to go to the park. I should have done some research with the photographer, but they took all these pictures on one of the rivers in the park. And there were people spaced out far enough from us, like fly fishing it. I should have just brought my fly rod.
Give you something to do.
It was right there.
We were
literally right there. And it's like, oh man, it looks so good. And so I did not fish the park, but
next time.
Really, really beautiful stuff.
Well, it's good to, again, kind of get away here. Early August, good time to do it because, we know here in a couple weeks you're going to be, these guys are going to be grinding again.
We got the rest of this week, and then we've got next week. And we have a couple guys. Ian's back. Caden Rayfield's flying back today. Campbell Blogg's coming in. And I'm sure some more local guys, too. But they're starting to trickle in here. So the excitement, and then Coach Lamb and the boys are practicing, and volleyball's doing 2-a-days. And so, there's an excitement starting to build up on campus, which is really cool. It's time, right? It doesn't feel like the fall because it's 148 degrees outside, mm-hmm. but it is. We're in August. There's a football game in 3 weeks, right?
Right.
So it's getting really, really exciting. So since May has been completely decimated by transfer portal recruiting and stuff, you got it. I told my staff, I think Klopp's down in Texas, right? I ain't seen him in 10 days, and I'm glad I haven't seen him. Reed, he put it on social media. He went to Mexico with his family. Great, get out of here, right? Told the staff, hey, if you get a chance to get out now. Because these years are so long, and to be able to get away, and we got to recharge the batteries. And I'm starting to I'm starting to get that juice back in me too, which is a good thing. And to get these guys back, and we got a real chance to be good, but we got a lot of work to do. So we need to make sure our batteries are full.
Well, Coach, and again, looking forward to the access to getting to know some of these players in a couple weeks. I think it's going to be a great time.
Sounds good.
All right, my friends.
Okay.
Look forward to catching up with you next week. And we're in August. I know it's still hot during the day, but you get up in the morning, you get out there. Feel a little crispness to the air. It's definitely falls on the horizon.
We can end with this. Let me think about this, Brady. What is today? Thursday? Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So Monday, record highs out here. 103. Okay. And with the UNC Blue and Gold golf tournament, it was fun. I did not get a golf in that. I'm at the cannon hole number one. I'm not shooting the cannon. I'm just out there. It's really good. It was sold out, really good vibe, 25 teams, 100 golfers, hanging out with the administration. We had a couple more players. Egan was there for halftime. Arik was there for halftime. Staff was out there. DG was out there. Colin was out there. And we're just chopping it up, hanging out with Bear supporters. But it was hot, man, 103. Now, I saw the tweet the next morning. It was, because it was that day, it kind of got cooler. It's 48 degrees.
Yeah.
It's a 54. So I think the actual thing is said 102 is a 54 degree drop in less than 24 hours. And that's what I'm here for. I'm here for a little bit more chilly stuff.
Yep.
I'm over the hunters, man.
It's July was rough.
Throw them at, but I think we're going to have it for a while more.
I think we've got a big stretch here coming up. Yeah. There's going to be some, maybe even we'll be into the hundreds again before too long. Yeah. So yeah, stay cool.
Yeah.
All
if
right,
you
want to
find me at Waterworld on Sunday. All right, if you
want to
find me,
good.
Yeah, that is happening. Yeah. So yeah,
maybe a team retreat or something like that to Waterworld.
This is family. Madden's coming home Friday. Avery's returning today. Wifey is here. We are going to Waterworld on Sunday. The tickets are booked fairly expensive.
Oh, this is real. You're going to Waterworld.
No, you want to find me something?
Yeah.
Find me at Waterworld.
Well, what are you into at Waterworld? Is it the slides? Is it the wave machine? Or is it just chilling out?
No. So, you got to be that nerdy tourist that's there right at 10 a.m. Right? You got your little cooler and stuff. You got to power through. And then you got to drop your stuff. I know exactly where we get that. You better get a locker, by the way. You do not need people stealing all your crap. Mm-hmm. So get the locker. Then you put your towels down, whatever it is. You got to sunscreen ahead of time, too. Again, you can't waste time. And here's my recommendation for those that really care about Waterworld. Mile High Flyer, don't do it unless you sprint right down there because it's going to be a 60 to 90 minute wait. And the reason I know all this stuff, I was a Waterworld junkie growing up. I had the season pass. I grew up 10 minutes from Waterworld.
Oh, wow. So you were there.
I'm a junkie. So if you're going to do the Mile High Flyer, you got to go right to it because otherwise you're going to waste 90 minutes and the clock's ticking on you. Outside of that, to answer your question, I do like some, Journey to the Center of the Earth. Got to hit that one time. The Pharaohs is cool because the Pharaohs is so old, it's not as popular anymore. So it's kind of a family ride that doesn't take 2 hours. My prayer is that on Sunday, it's the end of the summer season. Starting Monday, there's no more Waterworld during the week. It's only limited access on weekends.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that Sunday, no one's going to be there. But let's be honest, it's going to be 102 degrees. It's going to be just packed. And we're just going to compete.
Yeah.
We are going to compete. Kids asked for a fast pass. I said, no, we're not doing it. Now, if you want to Venmo me, I'll get you a fast pass, but I'm not buying the fast pass. We're going to grind through this. And the other sneaky thing is, as you walk down, my favorite slides, as you're walking towards Mile High Flyer, there's these three white slides, and they are extremely high up in the air. There's one that goes straight down.
I've been on that one.
It's my favorite one.
It's insane.
I would
terrifying.
Do it over and over. I love it. And I love that. But then that little river country with the singles— as you walk down to there's river country with the singles, and they're just these kind of babbling brooks or whatever it is. I love them. They're actually really fun, and the lines aren't terrible. You gotta decide. You know, waiting in line, again, quantity versus quality. Are we trying to catch 60 fish, but they're smaller? Or are we going to wait for the 1 5-pound rainbow, but you're going to wait? Like, that's what you got. This is what life is.
Yeah. You got to balance it.
Waterworld.
Well,
find me at Waterworld.
Have
Sunday.
Fun at Waterworld. Yeah. I know you're going to have a great time getting the family back.
Oh, yeah.
Cool off, man. Yeah, go down the crazy slide.
That's all we
can
do.
And we'll look forward to talking more basketball with
Let's
you next week.
All right, buddy.
All right, coach.
See you.
The Two Man Game podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star Hoover, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!